Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, April the 29th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 34 in More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph. For those who are unable to drink moderately, through one paragraph ending, no matter how great the necessity or the wish, and the comments are on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 steps, Dorita P., the 12 traditions, Courtney J. The readers of the text are Alex K., Julie E. B., and Leslie M. The share ID for Tuesday, April the 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,408. That's 23408. And the Wednesday, this morning's meeting, April the 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,410. That's 23410. Our newcomer greeter is Kathleen W., and the announcements person is Shelley E. And thank you all for your service this month. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dorita P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Dorita.
Hi, thank you. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, the searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Dorita P. from, I think, Ohio. I'm not sure. All right, I will now ask Courtney J. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, everybody. This is Courtney J. in North Carolina, compulsive eater and sugar addict. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the Overeaters Anonymous name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me read.
Well, thank you very much, Courtney J. from North Carolina. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 34, More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph down, for those who are unable to drink moderately, through one paragraph ending, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. The comments are on this one paragraph only. And I will now ask Alex K. to begin reading and comment. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Thanks. And thanks to everyone for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever. Yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Unable to eat moderately, yes. Lost the power to choose, yes. Tremendous urge to cease, yet found it impossible to stop, yes. Utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or wish, yes. Sometimes I felt I was choosing to compulsively eat, but it was the disease convincing me that it was my idea, that it was a good idea, and that it was what I wanted. And I forgot all the misery it had caused in the past. I didn't want the negative consequences, but I did want to numb myself and escape life and feelings. Sometimes the pain of compulsive eating seemed preferable to the emotional pain I couldn't tolerate. And when I tried to stop, I couldn't stop or couldn't stay stopped. Exerting all my willpower never worked. But I kept trying. And they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And I kept trying to control a disease that I'm powerless over. I kept believing the lies of the disease. This time it will be different. I can handle it now. A little can't hurt. I need this. Or I'd give myself permission sometimes by saying, I'll start abstinence tomorrow, or the first of the month, or Monday, as if it would be that simple, that as if I could just turn a switch and become abstinent and not be a compulsive eater anymore. Another insane thought. It's really amazing how powerful the delusion of the disease is. I truly believed the lies it told me every single time. I wasn't in my right mind. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't tell true from false when I was under the influence of sugar, my drug of choice. It's a mind-altering drug. It was such a vicious cycle and felt like an endless nightmare that I couldn't get out of. Never a moment of peace with the constant buzz in my head of the food obsession and compulsion and my schemes and resolutions and countless vain attempts. It's such a relief that I don't have to live that way anymore. I lived that way for a long time and felt hopeless that it would ever change, but it has changed dramatically. There is hope. There is a solution. My food obsession and compulsion have been removed. My life has been miraculously transformed. I never would have believed it was possible, but I am experiencing it. And I know a lot of others are experiencing it too. I don't even want those foods I binged on. I don't want to hurt myself with food. I have been restored to sanity and peace, and I'm beyond grateful. Keep coming back. It works. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alex K., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that's on any of the three meetings today, third day. So we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 34, More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph down. For those who are unable to drink moderately, through one paragraph ending, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. So who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada.
Marcel F.
Christina J.
Bessie, was that this Bessie? Bessie O. Christina, gotcha. Bessie O. Marcel F. Christina, gotcha, guys.
Elizabeth C.
Elizabeth C.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Got Marcel F., Bessie O., Christina J., Elizabeth C., Nancy L. Anyone else in this group?
Robin B.
Robin B. Great. All right, I think we'll stop there. So I have Marcel F., Bessie O., Christina J., Elizabeth C., Nancy L., and Robin B. Everyone please mute except Marcel. Good morning, Marcel. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, Mo. I'm Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. And thank you so much, Mo, for your service, for everyone that does the readings this morning. I'm just so grateful to be here today. And, you know, these last few paragraphs have been kind of, you know, driving home the severity of this illness and all the things that we try to do to combat it. And we just can't on our own power. We need a power greater than ourselves. We need this fellowship. Every outreach call, every connection that I have with all of you reminds me that I have this disease that there is no cure, but there is a daily reprieve. And how to stop altogether. What a line. I remember when I first came to OA 33 years ago, I was given the gift of desperation. It took me a long time to even go to my first meeting. But when I got there, there were people who had, because I only came to lose weight, right? There were people there that had lost like hundreds of pounds and kept it off. That was what hooked me, was the keeping it off. How do I mean, I had a career in dieting. I tried so many things, as we've heard in these last few days, and we hear in our meetings. And all of it works for a while, but it doesn't work forever. And the utter inability, despite the tremendous urge to stop, I always say, if I stop doing the things that keep me in recovery, the disease is going to just jump right in. It only needs a little crack to get in. And I just cannot afford that. I can't go back to that way of living. And I'm just really, my heart is just like overflowing with gratitude for all of you for this recovery, for the connection with my higher power, who I call God, who saved me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That's Marcel X from Canada. Up next is Bessie O, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. This is Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And thank you for your lead. I'm so grateful to be here with you all this morning. I love this chapter, and the thought that came to me as we were reading it is, you know, tradition 3 says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And so as we sit in the rooms, I go to face-to-face meetings, mostly meetings, sometimes meetings, and this meeting, you know, we get to carry this message, and many people come in. And it says we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. You know, I mean, if someone is coming into a meeting, there is an assumption that they're there because they're curious, they want to stop. And you know, it's such a gift to be able to share a solution to this utterly baffling, you know, disease that is just always there. And so many of us have just tried all of these non-spiritual things. I can't remember where it is in the book, but, you know, it just goes through all the, you know, I have my own laundry list of the things that I've tried other than a spiritual basis. And I think that's the beautiful thing, is just being able to walk into a room and we bring, you know, we come with our spiritual toolkit, our spiritual recovery. And that's what I can offer people. And I just think it's such an exciting, beautiful thing when someone walks into a room, you know, for the first time, because I remember what that felt like. And you know, I just hope every day that I can show up with this spiritual recovery, because it is it's the solution, you know, that utter inability to leave it alone. And I'm also so grateful for the structure of these instructions, that, you know, they lay this out, and we get to hear these extremely vivid descriptions. And these are the descriptions, these stories that that's what stays with me, you know, and we get to offer our own story, add our own stories, you know, to these stories. And so that's what I want to bring to those rooms. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is Bessie O, and she's from Colorado. Up next is Christina J, followed by Elizabeth C. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Mo. Christina J. in Washington, Alex, that was incredible. And all the other shares too. What a great lead. How does higher power get us to turn to him or her? How does love get our attention when we're caught in self and all the things that take us down into the food? Food is my go-to, and it's solid. It seems to be something I can reach for, that I can feel, see. And this path seems so elusive. How do I get to a personal relationship with this thing? You know, God is not chocolate, and yet he or her is, because chocolate eventually takes me into the pain that is so bad, and I can't beat it. It's baffling. I can't leave it alone. I really want it. I really want it. Not anymore because I want to look like the greatest model on the street, but because I want to be free of this thing that gets in the way of this elusive power. Anything that I put before that gets in the way. So I can't do this on a non-spiritual basis. I've learned that going through this program. And I've taken a long, hard journey in this thing, in relapses that were horrible, because I kept going to the thing that I thought I could see, feel, touch, that would give me the immediate relief. But as time went on, the immediate relief, even though for a long time it lasted quite a while, then it began to last shorter and shorter and shorter. And I went to hell quicker and quicker and quicker. But the good news, of course, is this book that we're holding in our hands has the answer. It really does. It did for me, because it opened me up. Once the food was down, I began to walk with that spiritual presence. And I've gotten deeper and deeper and deeper with it. I feel it in my heart as I'm speaking to you all this morning. And that's what waits for you all that are out there still struggling. I can't guarantee that because I'm not your higher power and I don't know what kind of road that you have to go on. But all I know is that God had me in a stranglehold with this thing. And he wasn't going to let up because he wants us. He wants us free and clear. We have work to do in this world. Let me speak for myself. I have work to do in this world with still suffering people. I lost my sister to this damn disease. I lost my mother. My second stepfather put a gun in his mouth. There's, you know, so many people we could talk about that have touched our lives. There's no time for me to dangle around, dinging around with this, that, and the other. But I can't get to this until I'm ready, until God tightens that stranglehold down so bad that I'm laying in the gutter. How do I get the hell out of this? And it's been quite a journey for me to realize God, realizing that I'm walking with this power, and then still turn away from the food because I still have the twist of the mind when the emotional stuff comes up. But now I'm learning to take that deeper and deeper to the power in my 10th and my 11th steps and my working with my precious sponsees. This program is a miracle for you.
Fine.
It's a miracle for your soul. And I'm up on the podium here. But I love you all. And I just really want to, you know, like the big book says, beg of you to give this a chance. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Christina J. from Washington State. Up next is Elizabeth C., followed by Nancy L. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth C. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Maine. And thanks for everybody's reading and input and service this morning. And this paragraph makes me think about when I first came into program and I knew I had lost the power to choose to eat or not. And I was in this just dark hole. It really felt like I was in the bottom of a hole. Like there was nothing around me. It was just darkness. There was no light in my life. I had no hope. And I felt like I had willpower. You know, I had been good my whole life at like putting my nose to the grindstone and putting my needs to the side and just grinding along. And I've heard that in a lot of other people's stories too, a tremendous amount of willpower. And it did not apply to my eating at all anymore. It had for a long time. I had been able to restrict. I had been able to compulsively exercise to get rid of the weight and kind of counteract the binging. But at the end of my eating career. I couldn't exercise to get it off. I couldn't diet anymore. All I could do was eat. And it was so dark and it was so scary. And looking back at it now, it was so necessary. I had to be in that really dark, lost spot to be willing to accept a spiritual solution, to be willing to come into program and have some humility and listen to other people and take direction and have enough space in my heart for spirit to come in and make miracles happen. And I also, you know, I had the urge, I had a tremendous urge to cease forever. I still am a mom to a little girl, and I was not the mom I knew spirit wanted me to be at that point before I came into program. I was doing the best I could, but I was so angry. I was so angry and impatient and not present with her. I felt like I was just missing motherhood. I was so stressed out and just, yeah, it was not what I wanted to be as a mom. And it was so heartbreaking to be in that spot and to not be able to do anything about it. I had that one little kernel of hope in me from kind of messing around in OA. I knew it was out there, and there was that tiny little voice inside of me that said, I think you need to go back to OA. And when I finally had my moment of true surrender at the bottom of that hole where I knew there was nothing around me, there was nothing for me anymore in the food, that was when I had the willingness to come into program. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Elizabeth C., and she's from Maine. Up next is Nancy L., followed by Robin B. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, everybody making this meeting happen, and welcome newcomers. I'm Nancy L., 100-pounder in Arizona. And, the no matter what stuff, no matter what, I could not leave it alone. I believe for me, you know, it was just one of those things where, yeah, but where am I going to get the relief? I have to get this relief. I have to feel good. I have to want to live. And so in wanting to live, then I would continue to binge, and I was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it wasn't, it made everything worse. Of course, it made everything worse. And the relief was very temporary. And, you know, when it wore off, then I'd be all grouchy again until my next fix. So it was just a never-ending circle and cycle of madness. And I thought it was me. When I came to the rooms, I think the best thing I ever heard, more than the fact that there is a way to get the weight off and keep it off, but it was that I'm not in my right mind. I am a food addict, and I am not in my right mind when it comes to certain red light foods or addictive foods. I am miserable with them. I'm miserable without them. And but today, because I have continue to work in this. I came in 2002. It took me like 12 years to finally work the steps. And then it took me another 5 years to try to take three people through the steps, which is fun for me now. I love it. And so I like to say that I am leaving all this trigger food alone now, and I'm doing it cheerfully. I'm doing it because of God's power in me, helping me to live the 12 steps and to share what I've been so freely given. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Nancy L., and she is from Arizona. Before I take another lineup of names, and before I take Robin, I will let everyone know where we're at. We're on page 34 and more about alcoholism. We're the second paragraph down. For those who are unable to drink moderately, through one paragraph ending with no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And after Robin B., I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you so much. This is Robin B. in Ohio. I am a compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. When I read this paragraph, drinking moderately and how to stop altogether, and I have struggled with my food addiction since I was a small child, like preschool age. And I didn't understand it. My older brother and sister, my mom, I knew I was different. And I, you know, grew up teenager, into adulthood, and the disease kept getting worse and worse and worse. I wanted to stop so many times. I wanted to stop, but I could not. And so I knew all the tricks, the crazy diet, the crazy exercise. If I stopped eating this and then I ate more of something else, it would help me. And I couldn't do it. And I was a religious person. And I kept getting prompted by my higher power. I had heard about OA. I heard about AA. And I just didn't want to believe it. And finally, I got to the point where just I was prompted, divine intervention, go to the website. And I listened to a podcast of this keynote speaker from a convention. And I remember the words that I remember is this keynote speaker said that they had been white knuckling it for their abstinence. And I identified with that. And I thought, wow, that is what I have been doing. Because I certainly, I did not have control over the disease. And so coming into OA, and it has helped me so much to, you know, surrender, to understand that I don't have any control. It's not my fault that I have this disease in my brain, but there is a way out of it, and that way out is through my higher power, accepting my disease, accepting myself, and allowing my higher power to come in and help me, to give me the strength to overcome, and that I cannot go back. I cannot, because I have this inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. I can't go back to those foods ever, because if I do, I will die. And that was hard for me to accept, but I had to honestly look at myself and my disease. And that's just the way it is. And I would, and I want to live. And I'm thankful for this program and for being able to live. Mm-hmm. And I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Robin B. She's from Ohio. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that's on any of the three meetings. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G.
Nicole S.
Larry G. Was that Nicole?
Yes, Nicole S.
Okay, and Christine, what was your last initial, Christine?
M.
M, okay.
Okay.
Was there somebody else in there? I have Larry G, Nicole, I think it was F, and Christine M.
Mary Frances W.
Mary Frances W. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with that lineup. Everyone please mute except Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Larry G from California. What's going on this morning on this call is precisely why a vision for you has changed my life irrevocably. We do such a good job on defining what the problem is. We talk we share 15, 16 people a morning, share their experience, strength, and hope on the paragraph on what the problem is, and then we talk about the solution. I didn't really know what the problem was. I knew I had an allergy, but I really didn't know the other part of it, which was the abnormal thinking. So when I came to a vision for you, like what Robin was saying, I was white knuckling for 20 years, and I was a little soldier, man. I did a pretty good job, you know, and I would hike and backpack and keep my weight down, and I would come to meetings and just look at me, look how great a program I have. But I was white knuckling it, and I got to tell you, I was miserable. I relate to the guy, the cautionary tale of the young man who for 30 years didn't drink, and then when he retired, within a couple of years he was dead, he went back to drinking. In the end, my ability to white knuckle had been smashed. And the pain, if there is a dark one that walks amongst us, it is this disease. The pain is like intolerable. I thought I was going insane. I thought I had to be institutionalized. I couldn't get through the day without compulsive eating. And because we're visionaries and we're studying the big book, we really have to understand what insanity means. And, you know, insanity is not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Although it's bizarre behavior, insanity is defined in the doctor's opinion, that obsession. I had the obsession of mine, and I would get through the day, you know, with just white knuckling it. And I would go to bed, and all I thought was about food. And the next day, I thought about food. And until the last 2 years, before I came to vision, I had to surrender. I had to give up the idea that I was different, that one day I would be able to eat indiscriminately. What about today? Well, today, I am in a completely new territory. I'm doing the best I can to adhere to a plan of eating. I'm really truthful with my sponsor. I've never been this honest about food and my behaviors. And I'm seeing that I have to let go of caffeine. I have tried drinking caffeinated teas, decaffeinated coffee, and it does terrible things in my brain, awful things in my brain. And I'm willing to let go of that because the freedom I have is just precious from the obsession. And with that, I pass back to you, Mo. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's Larry G. from California. Up next is Nicole. I'm sorry, Nicole, I didn't get your last initial. Followed by Christine M. Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole S., as in Sam, recovered in Colorado. And thank you, Mo, so much for your service. And I love this paragraph. First starts off with, we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. And I was in OA for quite a few years, and I never heard from the group that I was in that we actually had to put the food down, which when I read the big book is really crazy to me, because it's very obvious to me that I do need to put the food down. And, but, you know, looking back, I don't know if I would have had the desire, to stop, because I wanted to, I didn't want to have the consequences. I didn't want to have, this feeling, horrible physically, from binging and purging for me. But I wanted to still eat what I wanted to eat. You know, I did get that tremendous urge to cease forever. I never wanted to eat the way I was eating. I never planned on binging the way I did. There was always gonna be my last time. I will never ever do this again. And then, you know, just being completely baffled, and, you know, banging on the bar again, like Bill W., of like, how could have I let this happen again? And just that utter inability to leave it alone. And I did have that great necessity, that great wish. When my son was one, he saw me, you know, binge and purge, and I wanted more than anything, to stop, but just could not stop on my own power. I cannot quit on a non-spiritual basis. I need God in my life, and I need God every moment of every day. And He gives me the power. He gives me the strength. He gives me what I need to be able to put the food down and to be renewed day by day. And so I'm so grateful, and I'm so grateful for meetings like this where I heard the message that, yeah, I do have to put the food down and work the steps. What a blessing to have the right message and to have recovery, to have this fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That was Nicole S., and she is from Colorado. Well, next is Christine N., followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Christine M., grateful recovered compulsive reader in Missouri. Yeah, I had the great necessity or the wish. You know, I really wanted to be abstinent. I really wanted to do good things, but I couldn't do any of that. And so, you know, this, what it took for me was a 6-year relapse and, you know, getting up to almost 400 pounds and just the physical, emotionally, and the spiritual, you know, disconnection that I felt from everybody on the planet and, more importantly, from God. You know, and today, because of that pain, because of that desperation, I reached out to God in a way that I never had before, and I had a willingness that I never had before. And so I'm just so grateful to be recovered today. And I don't share much on this line, you know, but today is the anniversary of my son's murder. He was murdered in 2015. And, you know, for me, I used to use that as an excuse to eat or to get back into the food or whatever, you know. And today, through the, you know, through God and the work of the steps, it goes deeper than just, it goes deeper than that. It's like God is allowing me to be an example of, yes, you can go through painful things, but you can still stay recovered. You know, yes, you can go through painful things, and God still, you know, has you every single step of the way. So, you know, what a way to honor, you know, God for me and to honor my son's memory and staying recovered and to, you know, yes, I grieve and it hurts, you know, deeply, but, you know, I don't have to eat over it today. I don't have to blame God for it. You know, I can just be grateful for the time I had with my son. And every year on this day, I always get on my knees and ask God, God, show me how I can use this as an asset to help somebody else. And today God is definitely doing that. So I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the healing that I am experiencing and for everyone on this line. And I'm grateful that, you know, all the glory goes to God. I get to do these things in God's name to glorify God, not me. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Christine M. from Missouri. Up next is Mary Frances W., and after Mary Frances, I may have a couple of minutes for someone else to share. All right, Mary Frances, you're up.
Good morning, Mo. Excuse me. Good morning, everybody. Mary Frances W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And I am so humbled this morning to be amongst all of you and to hear not only the paragraph in the book, but the vulnerable and honest shares and this last person, what you've experienced, and to be able to give honor and glory to God with such a devastating loss. It's just a real example to me of what it means to walk this path with all of you and a higher power, and to have the humility, which I always struggled with because, you know, I wanted to be perfect, but to have the humility to be honest, which, again, difficulty with doing that with all the other things, people pleasing, blah, blah, blah. But what really jumped out to me was many of us felt that we had plenty of character. And, you know, I came into the rooms thinking I was better than everybody else or lower than everybody else. And when I heard the expression egomaniac with an inferiority complex, it like hit me right between the eyes because that's where I lived. And what I learned in the rooms is that no, I'm neither of those things. I'm one among many. And I'm so grateful to know that all of you are just like me. We have this strong desire to not pick up these foods and let them pass our lips that will separate us from our higher power, whoever that is. And to have that disconnect for me, you know, what we've been reading here utterly gives me a healthy fear of not wanting to do that. And it's only through God's grace that I have the ability to not touch those alcoholic foods. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. You know, rest on my laurels. I've been able to admit this time that I'm the real deal, and I don't want to forget that. And again, I'm just so grateful for all of you and Mo for your faithful service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That is Mary Frances W., and she is from Pennsylvania. We do have time for one more share. Who would like to share on this paragraph, page 34? Who was that?
Debbie.
Debbie?
Nirvana A.
Okay. Yep, you've got it, Debbie. Thank you. Debbie P.
Okay, hi. My name is Debbie P. in South Florida. And this will be quick, you know, but I had been in a two-year relapse, and I did not want to stop. I did not want to stop my, you know, what I would say. You know, I was getting comfort from the foods that I know were not good for me, and feared for my sanity. So I got on a meeting, you know, I knew the answer was here, and I just took the directions I followed. I used my will to, you know, just keep following those directions, doing what I was told, went through the steps. It's been 4 months. I am living in a recovered state. I want to say one thing. My sister had been going through some testing, and I was so afraid of what the diagnosis would be. And my mother died 2 years ago. I'm like, I cannot go through this. I do not have it within me. Well, today in a recovered state, I know I'm connected to God. I know He's there for me. I have a community that I feel connected to. Yeah, I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's Debbie P. from Florida. Let's see. Do we have time for a minute share? Does somebody want to take a minute?
Julie E.B.?
Okay, Julie. You got a minute. Thank you, Julie.
I'll just segue from this to the final. Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, with just a daily reprieve. And I'm grateful to be abstinent this morning. But I have lost the power of choice. And there's so many ways I tried, you know, what will I have for dinner? People say, oh, this taking, working the steps takes so much time. You know, it takes a lot of time deciding what to have for every meal, feeling crappy about it afterwards, moving in my life without a sense of serenity and sobriety and being loved and trying to clean up my messes. That takes a lot of time. And so I'm grateful to have found a power more personal to me, greater than me, bigger than me, more loving than me, that allows me to be here with you today. Dying at 42, living at 56, you know, having maintained over 100 pounds lost, even though I've lost the power. So thank you.
Thank you very much for filling in that gap, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Thank you all for your shares. Thank you for being here. And so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And now I will ask a repeat, Julie E.B., Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Julie, again.
Thank you. Julie, Be Gratefully Recovered, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.